Picture this. You've got a state-of-the-art $100 million stealth fighter jet.
Right, the absolute pinnacle of modern engineering.
Exactly. It's, you know, shaped by supercomputers, coated in all these highly classified radar-absorbent materials, and it's generally considered the undisputed king of the skies.
Untouchable, basically.
Right, but then it gets completely neutralized, brought down by about, I don't know, $500 worth of parts.
Parts you could legally buy right now.
Yeah, from an electronic supplier, or even just, like, strip out of a kitchen appliance.
It sounds totally made up, right? Like the plot of some techno thriller. It's this massive, asymmetric David and Goliath scenario, but instead of a slingshot, David is armed with directed radio waves.
It really is. It's completely counterintuitive, because you naturally expect the countermeasure to a billion-dollar weapons program to be, well, another billion-dollar weapons program.
Not a hobbyist drone strapped with microwave parts.
Right. Not some garage tech rig.
Mm-hmm. So welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we have a uniquely fascinating mission for you.
We really do. We're unpacking a translated report from Taken Exclusive. It's an article titled Fall of the Invisible Dream. And we're going to explore the underlying physics, the electronic warfare tactics, and, honestly, the incredibly clever asymmetric strategies detailed in this text.
And this source brings a very specific, very provocative perspective to the table.
It definitely does.
Yeah, it's looking closely at how nations like Iran and China are allegedly designing entire military doctrines specifically to dismantle Western air superiority.
Particularly targeting software-heavy platforms, right? Like the F-35 Lightning II.
Exactly.
Now, real quick, before we get any further into the mechanics of this, I want to be entirely transparent with you, the listener.
Yeah, this is important.
The source material we're looking at today contains some highly politically charged claims. It's talking a lot about U.S. military technology versus Iranian, Chinese, and Russian capabilities.
Right, and it has a very distinct viewpoint.
So we need to be crystal clear right up front. We are not taking any geopolitical sides here. We are not endorsing the viewpoints, the military claims, or the broader geopolitical rhetoric of this article.
Not at all.
Our goal today is strictly analytical. We are simply here to impartially unpack the fascinating technological arguments and the underlying physics concepts that the original authors presented.
It's a crucial distinction. We are treating the theoretical physics of electronic warfare, as laid out in the text, basically as an intellectual exercise.
Right, just an exercise in understanding technological vulnerability. So let's get right into those physics then. The article goes hard after what they call the Hollywood myth of the invisible jet.
Oh, yeah. The media has really built up this image of invincibility around stealth platforms.
They really have. When you watch movies, they make it seem like, you know, these pilots are just flicking a switch and activating a sci-fi cloaking device.
Like they just vanish from the electromagnetic spectrum entirely.
Right. But based on the text, stealth isn't an invisibility cloak at all. Is it? Like more akin to just wearing camouflage in a very specific color of light.
That's a great way to put it. You've hit on the core of the physics there. Because in the realm of electromagnetic waves, there is no such thing as completely invisible.
Okay.
The article is very sharp on this point. Stealth technology is essentially what the text calls geometric armor.
Geometric armor.
Yeah. And to understand how it works and more importantly, how it fails, you have to look at the radars it was originally built to defeat.
Which are what exactly?
Well, modern stealth airframes are almost entirely optimized to evade high-frequency radars. They're typically called X-band radars.
Okay, so why X-band specifically? What makes that frequency the, you know, the primary threat that engineers spent decades trying to beat?
It all comes down to the wavelength. So X-band radars use very short wavelengths, usually just a few centimeters long.
Like literally the size of a bug.
Right. And because the waves are so small and tightly packed, they provide incredibly high-resolution images. They are basically the laser pointers of the radar world.
A laser pointer. Okay, I like that analogy.
Yeah, if you want to paint a target, calculate its exact speed, and guide a missile to actually hit a fast-moving jet, you need the extreme precision of an X-band radar.
You need the laser pointer.
Exactly. So aerospace engineers designed all those sharp, faceted angles and the internal weapon bays of stealth jets specifically to scatter those tiny centimeter-long waves away from the receiver.
So they bounce off in random directions.
Yes. It drastically reduces the jet's radar cross-section.
So against that high-frequency laser pointer, the geometric armor works perfectly. The beam hits the weird angles of the jet and deflects off into the atmosphere.
Right, meaning the radar dish on the ground gets absolutely no return signal.
But the report highlights a massive loophole here. What happens when an adversary just stops using the high frequency laser pointer and instead turns on a low frequency floodlight.
That changes everything.
Because the source points out that stealth geometry is virtually useless against low frequency radars. They specifically mention VHF and UHF bands.
The physics change completely when you do that, and it all has to do with how electromagnetic waves interact with physical objects.
Okay, walk us through that.
Well, while X-band waves are a few centimeters, VHF radar waves are massive. We are talking wavelengths that are several meters long.
Several meters, so like the size of a car.
Exactly. And the article mentions this phenomenon called resonance that occurs when these massive waves hit the jet.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that. How does a longer wave completely bypass all those expensive radar absorbent materials and the geometric angles?
So think about acoustic feedback in an empty stadium.
Okay.
If you play a sound from a speaker that perfectly matches the acoustic dimensions of the stadium, the sound waves reinforce each other.
Oh, like when a singer hits the right note and the glass shatters?
Very similar, yeah. The entire structure starts to vibrate with that frequency, amplifying the sound dramatically. In electromagnetic physics, a very similar principle applies.
So the wave matches the object.
Right. When a radar wave hits a physical object that is roughly the same physical size as the wave itself, the object resonates.
Oh, wow. So because an F-35's tail fins or its wingspan or even its open weapon bay doors are a few meters across.
They physically match the size of the VHF wave.
That is wild.
Precisely. The geometric angles designed to deflect tiny centimeter waves do absolutely nothing against a massive wave that engulfs the entire physical structure.
It just swallows the jet.
Basically, the physical dimensions of the aircraft match the wavelength, causing the airframe itself to resonate. It absorbs the electromagnetic energy and then loudly re-radiates it in all directions.
So the jet effectively turns into a giant broadcasting antenna.
Exactly. It just lights up on the radar screen.
Okay, but let me make sure I'm clear on the tactical application of this. You mentioned earlier that X-band is the laser pointer you need for a missile lock.
Right.
And VHF is the floodlight. But if the VHF floodlight is too blurry to actually guide a missile to the target, what is the strategic value?
Good question.
Because the source claims nations like Russia and Iran are building giant networks of these VHF radars. Why build them if they can't shoot the jet down?
Because they function as an early warning tripwire. The VHF radar doesn't need to guide the missile itself.
It just needs to see it.
Right. It just needs to tell the integrated defense network, hey, there is a stealth jet currently operating in this specific 100-square-mile grid.
Got it. It strips away the element of surprise.
Exactly, which is the stealth jet's primary weapon.
But seeing the jet is only half the battle. And this is where the source completely pivots. And honestly, it's the most fascinating part of this deep dive for me.
It's really interesting here.
Yeah. To understand how they actually neutralize the jet once they know it's there, the article says we have to stop looking at the aerodynamic geometry and start looking at the internal architecture.
The guts of the plane?
Right. The article describes the F-35 less as a traditional airplane and more as a flying computer.
It literally is a flying computer. It's running on over 8 million lines of code.
8 million?
Yeah. And crucially, it relies heavily on a continuous cloud logistics system. It's called Elopas, or there's a newer iteration called Odin.
Okay, so it's always connected.
Constantly. The jet is constantly passing massive amounts of data back and forth to a cloud-based network just to manage its sensors, its maintenance, and its battlefield awareness.
And the authors argue that this reliance on data is a severe digital Achilles heel.
It absolutely is. The modern pilot isn't just looking out a glass canopy trying to, spot enemy planes visually anymore.
Right, like an old World War II movie.
Exactly. They are operating inside a totally network-centric battlefield. They rely on external data links to tell them where the threats are way before they can even see them with their own eyes.
Okay, so how do you attack that?
Well, the article argues that if an adversary can flood that specific frequency space with white noise.
White noise. Like static.
Basically. Blasting massive amounts of garbage data and static into the jet's receivers. If you do that, the sensors are effectively blinded. You sever its connection to the cloud.
So you deafen the jet.
Yes.
You force this incredibly heavy, highly software-dependent aircraft into a localized, degraded state. You're effectively making it fight blind in a close-quarters scenario it wasn't primarily designed for.
That's the tactical degradation, yeah. But the report goes much, much further than just jamming signals.
It does, and this brings us back to the hook. The claim that you can physically destroy these aircraft without firing a single explosive munition.
The EMP.
Yes. The article provides a conceptual blueprint for a cheap asymmetric electromagnetic pulse weapon, an EMP.
It's wild.
The idea of garage tech taking down a fifth-generation fighter is just mind-blowing to me. Walk us through the anatomy of this weapon. What exactly are they building?
Okay, so an underlying argument the text makes is that the extreme complexity of Western fifth-generation fighters makes them inherently fragile to brute force electrical attacks.
Because they're basically flying laptops.
Right, so they outline a high-power microwave, or HPM, weapon that utilizes very accessible components.
Right.
The absolute heart of it is a powerful magnetron.
Which is the exact same component sitting inside a standard kitchen microwave. Right now.
Mechanically, yes, exactly the same. A magnetron is a vacuum tube that generates microwaves when electrons interact with a magnetic field.
Okay, but in my kitchen, it just heats up yesterday's coffee.
Right, because in a kitchen, it's shielded and calibrated to specifically excite water molecules to heat food. But if you strip away that shielding and you drive it with enough raw power, it becomes an engine that blasts raw microwave radiation. But a magnetron alone isn't quite enough. You need to deliver the energy instantly.
Okay, so how do they do that?
That requires a high-voltage capacitor bank.
A capacitor bank. How does the capacitor change the output?
Well, think of a standard battery. A battery releases energy continuously over time, right?
Right, a slow drip.
A capacitor stores up an electrical charge and then discharges it all at once in a fraction of a second.
Oh, like a camera flash.
Exactly like a camera flash. Mm-hmm. If you hook a high-voltage capacitor bank up to that magnetron, you aren't just turning it on. You are forcing it to dump thousands of joules of potential energy in a single nanosecond.
Wow.
It creates a massive, invisible wave of electromagnetic energy.
But wait, if that energy just radiates outward in a big sphere,
Wouldn't
it lose its power almost immediately?
It would, which is exactly why the third component the text lists is a directional waveguide.
A waveguide. What does that look like?
This is literally a shaped metal tube or cone. Think of a metal funnel. It captures that omnidirectional blast from the magnetron and forces it into a single, highly focused directional beam.
Okay, I have to stop you there and push back on the tactical reality there.
Yeah.
Because an F-35 cruises at Mach 1.6 at altitudes of up to 50,000 feet.
Right.
The article paints this scenario of strapping this $500 EMP rig onto a commercial battery-powered FPV drone. How on earth is a hobbyist quadcopter with a metal funnel going to get anywhere near a supersonic fighter jet to fire this microwave beam?
That is the exact right question to ask, and it really highlights the true nature of asymmetric warfare.
Because you can't catch it.
Exactly. You don't even try to fight the jet at 50,000 feet at Mach 1.6. You target it where it is slow, low, and completely predictable.
Oh. Takeoff and landing.
Right. The text suggests deploying these drones in known patrol corridors near forward operating bases, or specifically right in the approach paths for runways.
So it's an ambush.
It's a hover ambush. The drone simply loiters in the air, barely moving, just waiting for the multi-million-dollar asset to fly directly into its effective range.
Got it. So they exploit the geometry of the battlefield, not the airspace itself. Let's say the drone is in position. The jet makes its landing approach and the drone fires the beam.
Okay.
What is the actual mechanism of the kill? Why does the jet crash?
Well, when that focused beam of microwave energy hits the aircraft, the outer radar absorbent skin doesn't protect it.
Why not? I thought that was the whole point of the stealth coating.
It deflects radar, yes, but a jet still has physical seams. It has cockpit glass. And most importantly, it has its own antennas actively trying to receive signals.
Oh, right. The data links.
The microwave pulse enters through those exact vulnerabilities and travels directly into the jet's internal wiring.
Yeah.
Specifically, it targets the fly-by-wire system.
Fly-by-wire. So, for anyone unfamiliar, instead of an old mechanical pulley system where a cable physically moves the wing flaps...
Right, there are no physical cables.
The pilot's stick just sends an electronic signal to a computer, which then tells the flaps to move via motors.
Exactly. It's miles of thin copper wire acting as a central nervous system. So when that intense nanosecond microwave pulse hits those copper wires, it induces an electrical current.
Just out of nowhere.
The text refers to this as peak-induced voltage. Suddenly, a delicate microchip that's designed to operate on maybe, 5 or 12 volts is slammed with thousands of volts in a microsecond. The voltage differential is totally catastrophic.
It just melts the silicon.
It completely burns out the microprocessors. So think about what happens next. The physical jet engine is still burning fuel.
Right.
The titanium wings are perfectly intact, but the digital brain of the airplane is completely fried. The pilot pulls the stick and absolutely nothing happens.
Oh, wow.
The aerodynamic structure just becomes $100 million stone dropping out of the sky.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
The physical machine is utterly useless without the digital infrastructure sustaining it.
Completely useless.
And while a drone with a kitchen appliance strapped to it sounds like, you know, localized guerrilla warfare, the source details how this is scaling up.
Oh, it's scaling up massively.
Right. Entire near-peer militaries have turned these concepts of asymmetric electronic warfare into massive integrated doctrines. So let's look at what the article describes as Iran's asymmetric net.
Okay.
We already talked about the VHF radars acting as tripwires, but the text also talks about their passive listening systems, specifically one called Aftobaza-M.
Passive radar is a totally fascinating evolution in air defense.
It really is. And I want to make sure we visualize this correctly for you.
Yeah, let's break it down.
So if active radar is like standing in a pitch black room and clicking on a high powered spotlight.
Right. Which lets you see the stealth jet.
But it immediately tells everyone in the room exactly where you are standing.
Because you're holding a giant light.
Exactly. Passive listening is the opposite. It's like wearing night vision goggles in that dark room and just silently waiting for the other guy to strike a match.
That's a great analogy.
You never emit a single photon yourself. You just look for their light.
That is a much better way to look at it. And the match in this scenario is the F-35's own internal systems.
The data links again?
Yeah. A modern fighter is packed with altimeters, communication uplinks, terrain mapping radars. It is constantly emitting radio frequency energy.
It can't help it.
It literally can't fly without them. So the Aftobaza-M system doesn't broadcast any signals of its own. It is a series of ground stations that sit in absolute silence, purely listening to the electronic environment.
So when it sees the match, when it detects the specific radio frequency signature of an F-35 trying to, say, communicate with the cloud.
Right.
How does it actually locate the jet without its own active radar bouncing off it?
Through triangulation. So multiple passive listening stations pick up that exact same emission from different geographical locations.
Okay, spread out across the map.
Right. And by calculating the microscopic time delays between when station A heard the signal versus when station B heard it, their central computers can pinpoint the exact origin of that signal in three-dimensional space.
That is so clever.
They locate and track the jet using its own high-tech sensors against it, all without ever turning on an active radar that the American pilot could even detect.
The technology literally betrays itself.
It does.
And the report highlights another tactic that plays on this exact same reliance on external data, GPS spoofing.
Spoofing, yeah.
Not just jamming the signal with white noise, but actively lying to it.
But I want to push back here because military GPS is heavily encrypted.
Very heavy. So how do you just lie to a secure military-grade navigation system?
Well, you don't necessarily break the encryption. You manipulate the physics of the receiver itself.
How so?
So GPS works by receiving incredibly faint timing signals from satellites way up in orbit.
Right.
A spoofing system operates on the ground, much closer to the target, and it broadcasts a stronger, identically formatted signal.
Okay, so it just shouts louder.
Exactly. Because it's louder, it captures what's called the phase lock loop of the jet's GPS receiver.
The receiver naturally latches on to the louder signal.
Right. And once the spoofer has control of the receiver's logic, it slowly introduces tiny, tiny timing errors, gradually shifting the perceived coordinates.
So the plane's computer genuinely believes it's somewhere it totally isn't.
Yes.
The article actually cites the RQ-170 drone incident here, where an advanced U.S. stealth drone was allegedly hijacked this exact way and tricked into landing safely in Iran because its altitude and location data were perfectly manipulated.
That's the claim, yes.
They also mentioned JDAMs, you know, smart bombs getting fed false coordinates mid-flight and just gliding into the open desert instead of hitting their targets.
It's basically electronic judo.
Electronic judo, I like that.
You aren't using brute force to destroy the weapon. You are using the weapon's own reliance on precise external data against it.
So if that is how localized defense networks operate, what happens when we look at the Pacific?
Oh, China's approach.
Right. The report details China's approach, and they are apparently weaponizing these principles on a massive fleet-wide level. They specifically highlight a Chinese aircraft called the Shenyang J-16D, which they call the Roaring Dragon.
The J-16D represents a totally different philosophy of air combat.
How so?
It is a dedicated electronic warfare jet. Its primary mission is not to shoot down enemy fighters with kinetic missiles.
Like a normal dogfighter.
Exactly. Its goal is to completely dismantle U.S. naval radar networks, like the AGIS combat system, entirely through the electromagnetic spectrum.
The text mentions it uses smart digital noise. Now, how is that different from the brute force white noise we talked about earlier? How does the J-16D actually spoof a multi-billion dollar naval radar?
Okay, so brute force jamming is just blasting static to blind the radar. The radar operator knows they're being jammed, they just can't see through it.
The screen just goes fuzzy.
Right. Smart digital noise uses a totally different technology called digital radio frequency memory. Or DRFM.
DRFM, okay.
The J-16D receives the actual radar pulse from the American ship, digitally records it, alters the Doppler shift and the timing data, and then transmits that altered pulse right back.
Wait, what does that actually look like to the radar operator sitting on the ship?
It generates false targets. The AGIS system's computers process those altered return signals and logically conclude that instead of one J-16D out there, there is suddenly a ghost fleet of 50 incoming bomber jets.
50.
Closing in from multiple different vectors and altitudes.
That is insane.
The smart noise doesn't just blind the radar. It overwhelms the system's processing power with terrifyingly realistic phantom threats. It paralyzes the defense network's ability to prioritize real targets.
Because they don't know what's real and what's a ghost. That is incredible. And it ties directly into the final tactical doctrine the report outlines. They call it MUMT, or manned-unmanned teaming.
This is wild stuff.
Walk us through how China is allegedly using swarms of drones, not as bombers, but as a vanguard for their stealth fighters.
According to the source, this is basically the future geometry of aerial combat. China utilizes swarms of flying wing drones, known as GJ-11s.
Okay.
But their primary payload isn't explosives. It's electronic warfare pods. You deploy a massive swarm of these drones ahead of your human-piloted J-20 stealth fighters.
So the drones enter the contested airspace first. They lead the charge.
Exactly. The drone swarm penetrates the airspace and initiates a massive coordinated electronic attack. They use that smart digital noise to create thousands of ghost targets. They spoof GPS links.
They use directed energy to fry forward-listening posts.
All of it. They create an absolute chaotic fog of electromagnetic war.
And while the automated defense networks are utterly paralyzed, tracking ghost fleets and dealing with crashed data links.
That is the breach.
The opening.
Yes. The human-piloted J-20 stealth jets slip right through that chaotic electronic fog, completely undetected, execute their kinetic strikes on the high-value targets, and leave before the defense network can even reboot.
So the machines create the electromagnetic breach, and the humans exploit it.
That's the doctrine.
Synthesizing everything we've pulled from this source, the authors of Fall of the Invisible Dream are essentially arguing that the era of the classic Top Gun-style dogfight is over.
Long out.
Aerodynamic supremacy is being replaced by spectrum dominance. The dominance of stealth technology is being functionally challenged not by building better aerodynamic frames, but by the ruthless application of basic physics.
It's all just physics.
From leveraging the acoustic resonance of meter-long radar waves, to capturing phase lock loops in GPS receivers, to literally melting microchips with nanosecond joule dumping.
It is a total paradigm shift. The article concludes with a very stark realization for military planners.
What's that?
The future of warfare is no longer solely in the hands of the fighter pilots pulling G's in the cockpit. It is entirely in the fingers of the frequency spectrum engineers. There is a specific quote from the conclusion of the text that really perfectly encapsulates this entire deep dive.
Let me read it. When the power goes out, no code will fly.
When the power goes out, no code will fly. It doesn't matter if you have 8 million lines of the most advanced, mathematically perfect software ever written by human beings.
Right.
If the physical microchip housing that code is subjected to a high voltage pulse, it becomes dead weight. The software is merely an illusion without the fragile hardware required to sustain it.
And that brings us to the real so what for you, the listener.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's incredibly easy to listen to an analysis of fifth generation fighters and drone swarms and think, well, I don't fly an F-35.
And I don't operate an AGIS radar.
All right, so I don't need to worry about peak induced voltage. But let's take this logic entirely out of the military sphere for a second.
This is the scary part.
If state-of-the-art billion-dollar military platforms built with military-grade shielding are theoretically this vulnerable to a repurposed kitchen magnetron and targeted radio waves.
How secure is the civilian infrastructure we rely on every single day?
Exactly. That is the truly unsettling implication of this entire analysis, because the underlying vulnerabilities are exactly the same.
They're identical.
Think about the world we live in right now. It is heavily digitized and completely interconnected. Modern cars are essentially rolling computers, relying on the exact same fly-by-wire steering and braking concepts as a fighter jet.
They are.
Our municipal power grids and water treatment plants are managed by remote systems and cloud logistics. Our phones, our banking systems, the traffic lights in our cities.
All of it.
They are all built on a foundation of fragile microchips and open frequency spectrums.
And the exact same principles of electromagnetic resonance and peak-induced voltage that could drop a jet out of the sky would absolutely devastate a municipal power substation.
Or a modern transit network.
Exactly. The technological barrier to entry for causing catastrophic electronic failure is terrifyingly low. And our civilian infrastructure has virtually none of the shielding that an F-35 has.
None at all.
Yeah.
The fact that the foundational tools for this kind of societal disruption are literally sitting next to the frozen peas in your kitchen right now.
It's sobering.
That is something that fundamentally changes how you look at the technology we take for granted.
Yeah.
You'll definitely never look at your microwave the same way again.
Probably not.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the world around you. Keep looking for the physics behind the headlines. And remember, just because you can't see the waves doesn't mean they can't bring down a giant. We'll catch you next time.